Billy was raised better than this. There's supposed to be a real pulpit to preach from. I'll have to talk to him about it. Y'all know Billy's one of my children, don't you? He grew up at Epworth Church, and I was the youth director there. And he was the sweetest little kid. Just a lot of energy and kindness to everybody that he knew. I am honored to be here today and grateful for this privilege of seeing you and connecting and reconnecting with some friends from long ago. I think a good number of this congregation was connected to Epworth Church, and our friendships and love go very deep and way back, and I'm grateful for your presence, as well as other friends who were here, as well as for the Asburyans who were here. I'm very grateful to be here today. Our passage of Scripture, you probably don't know there's a lectionary because Billy doesn't use it. He just, you know, Lord, I tried to teach him, and he does his own thing, and he's so creative and wonderful. But I follow the lectionary, and I always read. It covers the passages of the major themes of the Scriptures through the years. Because I'm not as creative as Billy is. I need somebody to give me a guidebook. And so I looked at the passage this week, and it's that familiar passage from the Gospel about the sower and the seed. Y'all are familiar with it, aren't you? Jesus told parables. He told parables about things that people knew about. And this one is very familiar. A farmer goes out and scatters seed in the field. And what happens to it? Jesus gives them descriptions of several places that the seed falls. On rocky soil, on shallow soil, and then some of it falls finally on good soil. The seed that falls, some of it's gathered up by the birds for food. Some of it grows up real quick and withers and dies. And some of it falls on good soil where it grows and prospers and brings forth lots of fruit. How many of y'all garden? Anybody here have a garden? Oh, lots of you. I know Pat Prokop does. Pat's way up in the balcony. He does daylilies. And daylilies don't really come from seeds, do they, Pat?
Well, they could.
They could, but they don't normally. You break them apart from the other plants. So you don't know what I'm talking about today, do you? One of my favorite memories, I love Pat and Mary. They've been friends of ours from White Bluff, and I'm so grateful for that friendship. So I don't want to pick on Pat anymore. Mary keeps me posted with what goes on at Asbury. She sends out the sweetest emails from time to time. If you don't get her emails, you need to ask her to write you about the things that are happening in the world, because she always knows, and her words are so clever. Growing up as a boy, one of my favorite memories, there was a little patch of land behind our house. There were trees in the back. It wasn't a big yard. I grew up on 40th and Lincoln Street in what we used to call Midtown. I don't know what they call it today. I think it's the part of the Victorian district. But there was a small spot of land about 10 feet by 20 or 25 feet wide that got sun. And you could grow things there. And in the springtime, my mother always hired somebody to come and turn the soil over. Some man would come with a shovel and turn it all over, and Mother would sprinkle fertilizer out. And after the man had turned all the soil, then she would pay him whatever it was she was paying him, and he would leave, and she would rake the soil smooth and level. And one of my childhood memories was getting to help her plant seeds. Mother never planted butter beans or pole beans or tomatoes or anything to eat. She planted flowers. And one of the things that she very often planted were zinnias. Y'all know what zinnias are? Well, I love zinnias today because of that childhood experience. And I bought a package of zinnia seeds this year at Home Depot. They are still on my desk at home because I never got around to putting them in the ground. And I shouldn't admit that to you. But if you've ever bought a package of seeds, they cost $1.58. And it's a little package. It's about 3 by 5 maybe. And if you tear open the top of it and shake out the seeds, you can pour them in your hand. And if you're not careful, there's so few of them, if you sneeze, they'll be gone. But I can remember my mother, you know, doing that with us as children and teaching us to very carefully pick each one of them up and put it in a row that she had created with the handle of the rake, about an inch deep. And then she would show us that you brushed the dirt over, covered them up just a little bit, and then sprinkle it with water, and then we would watch and wait. And Mother would go out with us every morning and watch for the first seeds to poke the little heads through the ground. And she would get excited with us as though she had never seen it before. And they would grow up and we would watch, and then there would be these beautiful flowers that you could clip and bring in the house, and the more you cut them, the more they bloomed. Well, Jesus loved to tell stories about planting and about things that people knew, farming. They were an agrarian people. And he told the story about this sower who planted a garden. Now, he had a big field, so he didn't have a little $1.58 package of seeds. What did he have? I think there was a picture on the bulletin. What's he got? Y'all can talk to me. He got a big sack of seeds, hadn't he? And what's he doing in this picture? Did Billy do this? Jeanette, did you do this? Somebody did this. Somebody in here is really creative at this church. It's great. He's got his hand, and he's sticking his hand down in this large container of seeds, and he's scattering them as he walks through the field. He's scattering them, and the seed go everywhere. Now, the first thing that I realized from this parable that Jesus is telling us that I want to say to you today is that the seeds are like God's love for us. It's not a tiny little smidgen of love that comes in a little 3x5 thin package that you pay for. Rather, it is a large scattering of love that goes everywhere. And if this congregation were packed to the brim with standing room only today, I want to say to you that there would be enough of God's love for everybody. Scattered out, an abundance of it. Just everywhere you looked, there are seeds of God's love, of faith, all around you. And I want you to get that today. That God's love for you is abundant and full, and God is never selfish. God doesn't look at any of us and say, that one's not smart enough for me to give my love to. God doesn't look at any of us and say, oh, that one's hair is too gray, or this one's too heavy or too wrinkled. God loves all of us. God never looks at us and says, that one's not bright enough or industrious enough. I'm not going to give that one some love. God never looks at us and says, the color of your skin, the complexion on your face, the shape of your eyes. God looks at us and says, all of you. Take the gifts of love and grace that I have for you. As a young minister, I had my first stewardship campaign. Y'all know what that is, don't you, here? Where the church asks you to sign a pledge card and give money. Well, in the country, they never did that. But I was fresh out of seminary, and I thought they ought to. I thought a lot of things that you ought to do. You know, when you got the education and you're smarter than everybody else in the world. And they had a harvest festival down there. They were agrarian people. And in November, the first Sunday in November, they brought their harvest in to the church. And they took up enough money on harvest festival Sunday to support the church for the whole year. And it's like, preacher, what are you talking about? We don't need to fill out cards. We have harvest Sunday. And I said, well, we need to make a commitment. I said, I believe it would be good for us to make a commitment. And being a smart seminary student, I said, it's not just about money. And this is logical stuff, isn't it? It's not about money. I said it's also about making a commitment to give of our talents and of our gifts and of our service to the church and to God. And that made real good sense to me. And so being the nice, lovely people full of grace that they were, they decided to let me do what I needed to do for me. And so we developed this campaign, and it was about bringing in your gifts. That's not a bad theme, is it? Bringing in your gifts to God to share what you have. And so I tried to point out to everybody that it was very important for them to think not only about giving money, but what they could do to give to the church and the community in the name of Jesus Christ. We had one very elderly lady whose name was Elizabeth Herring. She sat on the right-hand side of the church, about three or four rows from the back, which was almost in front because it was a little tiny church. And Elizabeth was there every Sunday. And Elizabeth explained to me the first Sunday that I was there that she did not stand for the songs or the Apostles' Creed or the doxology. She said, "It's not that I'm irreverent, Nathan. It's that my knees hurt so bad. It's all I can do to get here and get seated." And so if it's, and I said, "Miss Herring, that's wonderful. I'm just glad you're here. You don't have to stand. You worship sitting." Well, would you like to know what she thought about my gift-giving campaign? She said to me, coming out of the church, when I started talking about it, she said to me, "Nathan, when I was younger, I kept the nursery when there were lots of children here. And I taught Sunday school. And I cooked for church night suppers. And I used to do the flowers. Take my turn." The ladies there took turns. These flowers are lovely, by the way. They are just beautiful. Thank you for them. And Elizabeth said, "I would always entertain the preachers when we would have our spring and fall revival. They would come to my home and I would fix meals for them." She said, "I've done all of those things." And she said, "I am too old to do anything anymore. You'll just have to forgive me. I don't have any gifts left to give." And I was speechless. And while I was trying to think of something graceful to say to her, one of her friends who was standing behind her in the line going out the door at the church where people tell you all the important things, one of those people said, "Elizabeth, you have the gift of caring and calling." And I found out something about this lady who was too old to do anything anymore. She would make it to church. She would sit there in the pew, and probably while I was preaching, you know, thinking about something else besides what I was saying, like some of y'all do sometimes, probably. She would make mental note of who was not at church that Sunday. Now, when the church is small and there are only 50 people, it's not hard to do. But Elizabeth Herring would go home on Sunday after church and have her dinner, and then she would start calling everybody who missed church that Sunday. And she would say to them, "Mary, are you and Pat okay? I missed you this morning. I hope nothing's wrong." It was never a call of, "Why weren't you in church?" But she really genuinely cared about every member who was absent on a particular Sunday. And she called them and she kept them. And I didn't know all this was going on. That church had the best attendance of the three little churches on the charge because Elizabeth Herring kept up with everybody. And if somebody had a problem, guess who else got a telephone call? The preacher. And it was always, "Did you know so-and-so's got this going on?" And what I discovered in that little church, in that campaign of gift-giving, is that everybody has a gift to give. God didn't skip any of us when he was passing out talent. Now, he may have given a little more musical talent to the group over here, But that doesn't mean he missed the group over here. God has gifts for all of us that God wants us to use. They are given. It may be the gift of presence. It may be the gift of caring. It may be the gift of laughter. Have you ever known people that were just happy all the time? My mother used to say people who were happy all the time didn't have good sense. I love people without good sense who can just laugh and be happy and have a great time. But I want to stick to where I started, and I want to say to you that this parable is really not about the gifts that you bring to serve the church or the community. And I hate to admit that because it's a darn good passage to use at stewardship time to make you feel guilty if you're not doing enough or giving enough. And it's a wonderful opportunity to say, if you do so and so for the church, you're going to get stars in your crayon. Have y'all ever heard that? Well, sometimes I don't want stars in my crayon. Crayons get heavy. I wouldn't want to wear one of those things all the time. I don't wear hats much, you know. What if it's not about what we do and produce for the church? But what if this passage is really about faith and God giving us the ability to open our lives and hearts so that the Spirit and love of Jesus Christ and the compassionate life that He lived can be in all of us? We live in downtown Savannah on Oglethorpe Avenue, across from the police station. Don't you think that's appropriate? You know, people who know me know that's a good place for me to be. On first Friday nights and other times, sometimes for no apparent reason at all, there will be a fireworks display down on the river next to the Westin Hotel. We don't always remember when it's the week for the fireworks display. They start about 9 or 9:15 in the evening. But we always know they're going on because we hear the boom, boom as they start to shoot them off into the sky. Patty loves fireworks and I enjoy watching them too. And so we can go run up the stairs in our house and go to the back bedroom and open the curtains, pull up the shade and look out over the trees and stand there and watch the fireworks. Do you like fireworks? They're pretty. They brighten up the sky. They have all kinds of different things they do. Some rain fire down. Some make funny designs in the sky. Some are white. Some are green. Some are red. You know, just all manner of beautiful, colorful fireworks. But when you hear the sound, if you don't go up the stairs and open the window and pull up the shade, you won't see them. You will miss them. And Jesus wants us to know that it's possible to miss the gifts that God gives to us. It's possible to miss the outpouring of grace. It's possible to trample the seeds underfoot and to not allow the holy things to get inside of us. Patty and I attend Trinity Church. It's a downtown congregation and real small, which we don't do very often. If we get up early enough, we can walk to church. That's kind of cool. But we drive most of the time because it's hot and we're lazy We do the flowers there every Sunday because they weren't having flowers. They're just a little group of people going there. And I thought, well, you know, I can do that. I can bring a fern or a peace lily or get some cut flowers and stick them in a vase. And we do that every Sunday. And so it fell my task on Palm Sunday this year to provide the palm fronds. Do y'all do that here? Do you pass out palm fronds? Do you wave them in the high hand and have a parade and sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus"? Now, it's an exciting thing to do. It's a meaningful moment of celebration and remembering the gift of God's love. Well, after church was over, I ordered 200 of them. We had about 150 people there. And so when church was over, most people, guess what they did with their palm fronds? They left them on the pew. I guess they think we have a janitor down there. I'm not sure what they think. So I thought, well, I brought the things in. If they leave them, I'll take them home. I can at least clean up for God. Nobody wants me as a preacher anymore to serve a church because I'm too old and tired, but I can clean up for God. And so I went around the sanctuary, and everywhere there those palm things were, I picked them up, and I put them in a box and took them home, discarded. And some of them I actually was able to use as filler in arrangements for several weeks. That greenery lasts forever. You keep it in water. Well, about 2 months later, we were late to church. And when you come to church on time, the front door is open and you walk in. But if you're late to church, they leave the side door open so that the air conditioning won't go all out the back door. And there's also a story about one of the preachers loving fishing so much that if he saw a boat go by in front of the church, that he would cut the sermon down to 4 minutes and they'd be out of church and he'd be gone fishing. So they closed the back doors of the church and we were late. And Patty and I went in the side door and they put bulletins out. And there's a table there for latecomers to get their bulletin. And there on the table, next to the bulletins, was a stack of palm fronds from Palm Sunday, 2 months old. And they were withered and dead. And I thought, ooh, I didn't work very good as a janitor, did I? I missed this spot. I should have gotten these. And so after church, I went around the back and picked them up and disposed of them as I should have. And I realized that, think about it. There are periods in our lives when we get real excited about faith and God and love the church and worship. And then sometimes we're like those palm fronds laid on the side table and forgotten about. And we wither and dry up and lose connection. And Jesus warned us about that. Jesus warned us about getting disconnected from God. God's throwing this grace at us. But there is some responsibility on our part to accept that love and grace in our lives and let it be who we are. Let it define us. Let it grow us. Let it encourage us. There is a lady named Evelyn Laycock. Do any of you know who Evelyn Laycock is? Evelyn Laycock is a retired professor of Bible from LaGrange College. She teaches every year at St. Simon's at Epworth-by-the-Sea, a Bible study. And they now call it the Evelyn Laycock Bible Study. She is one of the most knowledgeable people of the Word of God that I have ever known. You can be talking about anything, and she not only knows what the Scripture says, she knows the historical setting and the background, and she's fascinating to listen to. Just this tremendous wealth of knowledge about the Bible and things holy. But the reason that she's so popular and so loved by people who go to those Bible studies, I don't think it's because of her knowledge. I think it's because there's kind of an inner glow and warmth about who she is. Sometimes when you talk to her, you feel like you're talking to somebody who just finished talking to Jesus a minute ago. She's just full of grace and insight and understanding. And if somebody comes and tries to talk to her about a problem, she is just overloaded with compassion and non-judgmental. And I think the reason that people love to hear her so much is because they feel the warmth and grace of God in her life. I believe that God wants to do that kind of loving and that kind of faith-giving in all of us. I believe we will change the world not by better laws or better welfare systems, but by people becoming vessels of the love of God poured out in abundance to each of us. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.